That's really what it's about, you know, when we come into this life, that we are being guided by a shepherd, right? It's one of the most beautiful ways that Jesus makes himself known to us. And we don't have to know a lot about shepherds and sheep to be able to understand what he's talking about, right? I don't have to be a farmer. Actually, my sister, who's on Zoom today, raised some sheep. And I remember her doing that. It wasn't easy because they go their own way. And they're very fragile. They, you know, we don't appreciate that. But so she has some firsthand experience with it. But many of us don't. So the Word of God is actually speaking to us in different ways today. And the way that I felt that God wanted us to put our emphasis is on the call of Christ, the call. Now, there's different aspects to this message here that we see in the scriptures, where Jesus is talking to people, distinguishing between voices that they're going to listen to. Right? He's distinguishing between voices of people who are robbers and thieves and that are not truly of God, or believers in God and they are one voice that is in the world. And then there's others that we listen to, and he says it's his voice that is most important. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So there's a threat of people that don't go through the proper means, through a door that is the way to reach the sheep. They climb over, and those are the ones that are not belonging to the kingdom, right? They are false prophets. They're people that in Jesus' time of the church who were not understanding the importance of putting God first. They thought of themselves more than God. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So there's a gate. They refer to it as a gate sometimes, or a door to the sheep where the flock of the sheep are. And there's even a gatekeeper there, probably a trusted person, right, who is there who would actually open the gate for the sheep, for the shepherd to come in. So there was someone even there, and they would know who the true shepherd was. And then the sheep would hear his voice. He calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. So they would listen for the voice of the one they could trust. They knew it was the real shepherd, right? And they were called by name. And so these are very beautiful concepts for us, not just for children, but for every age, to understand that we are sheep in the flock of Christ, and he knows you by name. And he calls you by name. He calls you by name. And so we are brought into the family of God. We're introduced now, and we're brought in through the Holy Spirit this morning to the presence of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Good Shepherd, the one who cares for us and watches over us, just as we heard in Psalm 23, read this morning, right? That he leads us beside the still waters. He leads us to pastures, green pastures, right? He leads us in the path of righteousness. Right, and then it gets deep, right? It gets into this sense of being led into the righteousness of God, into these places where we're safe, where we can trust, where we learn the truths that are important in life. And those are the things that we have, some of us from a very early age, some of us at a little, you know, farther along in our lives and are introduced to these things. But God is with us always. He's with us always. He is a good shepherd, and he cares for us. He calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. And then when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so there we are in life, right? You can also think of it as like the beginning of your life, and then your life begins. You come out from your mother's womb, you're in the world, and then you are being led by the shepherd. You don't begin to be led by the shepherd when you think about him. Okay? It doesn't begin with us. It begins with him. And he's always been there, even before you were born. And he knows your name, even before you're given a name by your parents. You're being brought in. We are being welcomed in this morning to this place called the kingdom of God. The place where life truly has meaning, where there is truly a God who loves us and cares for us even before we were born. And he knows you most of all, right, than anyone else. There's no one else that knows you better than he does. Right? So it's a very beautiful, welcoming message for us in that regard. So when he calls us, you can listen for your name, right, being called, and you know the voice, and you hear that voice, and then there is another place to go, right? Where do you go from there? So first of all, when you hear the voice of the shepherd, you pay attention to that, and you respond to it, and you think, this is a beautiful voice. This is what I think life is all about. And he's calling me by my name for some reason. And I've come to know him. But then there's all these other things that are going on in our lives that we've been involved with and that we have really actually invested our lives in. And we think of that and we start to feel like, okay, well, we're kind of caught in between, right? I hear that voice and I know that he's calling me to follow him and I know I can trust him. He doesn't climb in over the wall. He's the one that my life was meant to know all along. Through that door, through that gate that leads to the greatness of God that we were singing about, to the kingdom of God, to everlasting life. But this call comes to us, and when we hear that voice, what do we do? Right? What do we do? Well, the Bible teaches us when we hear the voice of Jesus, we need to at first acknowledge him. To know that he is real, to take in that love that he is giving to us and that he knows us by name and he wants us to grow and to follow in his footsteps in that kind of a way. And so there is this acknowledgement of him, and that is called belief, to believe in him. Right? So our response to the call of the shepherd in following him is to believe in him. Right, to take that step of belief and faith, to receive him as that shepherd, that voice that we can trust and that God is speaking to us in our life. And so that is really the day of our conversion. It's the day of truth that has come into our hearts, that Jesus is calling us into the family of God. Right? He's calling us away, and we see that and we hear that. And so it's important for us to acknowledge that and say, yes, Lord, I know that you're true. I know that you're real. And then what comes after that? We repent of our sins. We repent of our sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I know that I am a sinner and I need you. I need to know you. I need to know you and the forgiveness that is, you know, going to take away my sins, to set me free. And then also to receive the eternal life that he gives to those who have been given the way, the truth, and the life found in Christ, right? The way from being freed from sin to accept eternal life and to know that the shepherd is going to lead you into eternal life. Right? And from that day point on, that when you receive Christ in that way, then your life is secure in him. Right? And so there's this calling of God in this way into the kingdom, and we respond that way. There's a baptism that the Bible teaches us to obey, to be baptized, so that we profess our faith. And it exemplifies our dying to self and being raised with Christ into eternal life. Right? Dying to ourselves dying with Christ in the grave and then coming out a new creature. And that is our new life that is in him. And then we start to see the shepherd as in a whole new way, and we listen to his voice, continuing on in our journey, not just staying in that same place we were when we were baptized, but growing in Christ in that way. Right? And so there's this beautiful walk that we have following him, listening to his voice, and letting him lead us do that, right? And so this comes to another point where I believe that God wants us to talk about is this next step, is that he calls us for his purposes. He calls us for his purposes. We believe in him. We have repented of our sins. We receive the forgiveness of our sins, and we receive the assurance of eternal life. We receive the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit at baptism, and we join the church, and we are part of the church, and we are all these different things. But then what happens? There is a call of Christ. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, right? I call them by name, and then he leads us out. And so where is he going to lead you in your life? Where is he leading you? The call of Christ, the call of Christ. We all hear that used pretty often, right? What's your calling in life? What would you say? What's your calling in life? Right? Think about that. What is your calling as a sheep in the flock of Christ? You're a part of the kingdom of God, and you have all of these things that you've been trained in and you've been brought up in. And I just told you about my fourth grade teacher. You know, what a wonderful person she was. But, you know, we move on in life, and we have those experiences, and we have those things going on. We're trained in a certain area, and the church, the world will say to you, your calling is the thing that you love to do, right? Do what you really love to do, you know? Or maybe they recognize that you're gifted through your taking of SATs and different other tests that you're given, and they say, that's your strength, and so your calling is to follow those kind of strengths. But Jesus says, that is very true, and I gave you those strengths, but I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for you. And if you ask me and you want to sit down with me sometime, I'd be happy to tell you more about my life. That I was told when I grew up in my church, you have a great voice. You have a wonderful voice. You're a singer, and I would sing in the choir, and I had these people that taught us how to sing, and you're really gifted in that way. And, you know, you should go over to Europe and sing there, and you can sing. Oh, they're going to really, you know, all these different things that people are telling you. But what was I thinking? What was Jesus saying to me? What was the calling of Christ? Right? What was the calling of Christ? The calling of Christ was to give my life to him and let him decide what the calling was. To let him decide what the calling is. And in order to do that, we have to listen to his voice. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, the things that we've been told and the things that feel very natural for us, and it's like it's a clear thing, it's obvious, I have this obvious gift, right? It's my calling to use that and do this in the world. And Jesus may just say, that's not your calling. You have that gift, and I can use that. Really, I gave it to you, and I can use that. But what I have in mind for you is something more. And it's very distinct, and it's very, very purposeful in my mind, because I'm the one that gave you life. And I know what your purpose is in life. I know what I want you to do, and I'm going to lead you there. Will you let me do that? Right. We struggle with those things, right? We struggle with that because we're like, well, no, it must be this way. So you know how you figure it out? You walk with him. You walk with him. You agree, and you say, this is hard for me to understand, and I'm That's hard for me to give up. But the Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, whoever, right? Let me go to the verse and just read it in Matthew. If anyone would come after me, said Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life must lose it. This is the area of the calling that Jesus wants us to listen to today. And I want you to take that in. I want you to please just take that in and let that be the verse that you're discussing. I don't know you that well, but I have a feeling that you have had that thought in your life at some point, because it's in each one of us. It comes out at different places, right? For me, it was, in different areas of my life, and I thought I was a Christian. But Jesus is very patient. He's a very patient shepherd, and he waits, and he guides us, and he knows that we're stubborn, and he knows that we're tied to things of this world. He knows that we want to make our own decisions and make these kind of choices and stuff like that. But when you have heard the voice of Jesus speaking to you, and you have heard that voice, regardless of whether it's easy or hard, you have found life in him. You have found life in him. There isn't any other thing. There are replacements and there are additions, but he's the only way. And so you have to come into this relationship. You need to get into that. You need to get into Jesus. All these songs come to my mind from people that wrote them. Larry Norman wrote that. Get into Jesus. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because it's giving up ourselves. It's denying ourselves. And you have to be very honest with yourself. But that's the best thing about it. When we're honest with ourselves, then Jesus can do something with us. When we're dishonest to ourselves and we're trying to avoid hearing that kind of a thing. It's the same thing in life, right, with teachers, right? A teacher could pour out their heart to you and say, I've given you all that I have to give, and I've shown you what I know. But if you don't accept it and you don't receive it, then it's not going to help you. And so God is teaching us this lesson of denial, self-denial, saying, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. There's a guy that's in that picture. His name is Doug. Very close friend of mine growing up all through elementary school. And we were pretty good friends, But this one time he came in to a party we were in that I really shouldn't have been at, okay? I shouldn't have been at this party. It wasn't listening to the shepherd's voice. But I'm telling you this story just to give you a little bit of an idea from my own life what I'm talking about. He comes into the room, into the party, and he sees me. He comes over and he's talking to me, and he said something really nice to me about something I don't want to get into right now, but anyway, he started to share something that was really unexpected. I really didn't know he was going to go there because we had kind of broken apart through high school. He had other friends, I had other friends. And he came up, and for some reason, I think the reason was that I was supposed to talk to him about God. And he said, I was really close to getting really involved with this girl, and I thought that she was the one to get married. And you know what happened? She went and became a born-again Christian. You say hallelujah, and I was standing there looking at him, and I didn't say anything at all. But I denied my faith in Christ completely. And I'm on my Facebook now with him, and he is somebody who expressed himself as being a bum. And so by the grace of God, we can have that conversation and talk about Christ in a way. I hope that you'll pray for me in that situation so this comes back. Right? So he didn't want anything to do with Christ. And he didn't want anything to do with a girl that had Christ. So what do we do? Right? What do we do when something like that comes into our lives and people are talking like that? Do we deny him? Do we deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him? Or do we just continue to go on and say, wow, what a bummer, man. What a sad story that is. I didn't know what to say. Because I was afraid of what he was going to say to me. Right? And that was back in maybe my last year of high school, maybe first year of college. So especially for you young people who are at that age, in the young age of that, be aware of who you are in Christ, and really, really remember that he is first, and you are his witness. We can meet and we can prepare ourselves at church all we want. You know, we can spend time together here or on safe ground and talk about things in our lives. But what happens if someone's lost and they need Christ? Are you going to say, I'm a believer in him, and let me talk to you about it? I may not be able to tell you everything really well right now because I'm still growing in my faith, but I know the answer to life, and I know that God can help you. Let me show you in God's word that you are his sheep, and he knows you by name, and he calls you to himself. Right? Are we practicing that in our lives? Be encouraged today that Jesus is saying this to you, not so that you will be discouraged, but that you will be encouraged to open up about your faith, to answer the call, to answer the call. It doesn't always have to be a specific, like, 100%, like, go into the direction of a full-time ministry. It can be in your workplace. It could be in your school. It could be in your play. It could be even at a party, you know. There's another story during that time. Okay, so this was a time when I was learning these things, where the shepherd was calling me and helping me to be able to see through my own disobedience and things that were going on. The importance of putting him first and understanding what the calling of Christ is. It's not halfway. It's not like shared. It's full. So I went to another party. I was a singer, and these friends of mine had a rock band, and they said, do you want to sing with our rock band, right? And I was like, okay. I wasn't really sure what my calling was. I didn't know what I was doing in life, so I said, okay. And I knew that I wasn't a rock singer, okay? I was an opera singer. But they wanted me, you know, and they said, well, you have a bigger voice than most of the other guys, you know, so you can just do it. I get into this music with them, and they're singing all of these things that I don't agree with at all. You know, I don't want to mention the names of these songs. But they would just say, these are our songs, these are the ones we're going to do, and you need to learn these words. And I was just like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? And I tried doing it. We played at some dive, you know, somewhere in New Jersey, some really awful place, you know, where maybe a couple of people there drinking, and we had a party, and they invited me over, and they were hanging out, and they started to smoke marijuana. And I had never tried marijuana, and that night I didn't try it either, because I understood when I was in that position that that's not what the call of Christ is about. And they were saying to me, what's wrong with you? right? And I was thinking to myself, what is wrong with me? Why am I like not just turning things around and saying to them, I know a better way? You know, a better way to spend your time than to just smoke weed and to get high together and sing songs that are really filled with all kinds of dirty things. Right? So you get to this point and you need to decide. Right? You need to decide for Christ. You need to put him first. Right? So there's these verses that we were going through with a small group last week in the book of Acts, and I want to just use this in a little bit to help us to understand what is most important, okay? The fellowship of the believers. In chapter 2 of Acts, verse 42, it says this about the first Christians. What did they do? They did four things, but all of them begin with the word devote. They were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They got together and they learned from the apostles who knew Jesus the things of Jesus, the call of Christ, the call to the kingdom. Right? They devoted themselves to fellowship, coming together to fellowship together, to join together in sharing about their lives. But they sought out fellowship with other Christians, right? They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And that is either eating, that could be eating together, but it's probably the Lord's Supper, that they devoted themselves to the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ, right? So they all came together for that, devoted to those things. And then the fourth one is they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And what I want you to know is that I believe that God wants us to look at these verses here because he's looking for devotion. He's looking for people to be devoted to him because he was devoted to us. He gave his life. He said to the, if we read back in chapter 10 of John, you go on, he's talking about the shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He devoted his life to them. He devoted his death to them. He devoted his life to the Father. He devoted his life in obedience to the Father. But when he came together with people that were sinners, he didn't join in with their sins. He gave them himself as life. So if we have company with people that are sinners, it's welcomed by Christ, but we are there as his disciples, not to partake and just kind of let your life be some kind of a mist that just so flies away with no purpose. No, you need to learn to devote your life to Christ. Devotion. I was talking with a brother this week, and their definition of that was putting God first in their life. Putting God first. I think that's a perfect way to call it. Devotion. That means you do it with your heart. You do something with all that you have. You don't like say, I'm just going to pretend, you know, that I don't know God today and go and hang out here or do this that is not right for me. I know that this doesn't fit in. Please don't do that. Please. It was miserable for me during those days. So you young people especially, remember, you know, what happens in life and choose Christ. Follow the call of Christ. Right? He has something for you to do with your life. And it's his choice of what it is. He knows what your calling is. Right? So the four things, they devoted themselves to the teaching of God's word. That is where we get the wisdom and the strength that we need to be that witness in those times when we're around people that we don't want to embarrass ourselves by admitting that we know Christ. Right? All these things change. And you're like, I put all this time in, and I remember guys that were missionaries, and they had discussions with parents, and the parents were like, what are you doing with your life? You want to be a missionary? And we put you through, we raised you, we gave you everything, and we gave you the best, and then we sent you to school, and you have a degree in all of this. And they say, I heard the call of Christ, and I can't listen to you anymore, Mom and Dad. I heard the call of Christ. And I need to follow him. Because he knows my name. And he called me by name. And it's to him I belong. And it's to him I will give my life. And those are the things that Jesus is saying to us lovingly today by this incredible scripture here to talk about being the shepherd, the good shepherd, so you can trust him. But he's also the shepherd who says, whoever, right, wants to truly live must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Right? And I can tell you, that I continue to struggle with those things. But he's the rock. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. And he knows what's best for your life. So in your walk with him, apply those things. Devote yourself to the teaching of people that are giving teaching. Right? Devote yourself to the fellowship that is found in God's church. Devote yourself to the breaking of bread, to coming for communion. Some of us have been struggling coming to church regularly, right? Some of us have been struggling with coming in person because they can't get up in the morning for different reasons, right? Devote yourself to Christ. To the breaking of bread, right? The fourth one is prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. It doesn't need to be long. It doesn't need to be in depth. It doesn't have to be covering all these different things. But pray to your Father in heaven, right? Devote yourself to these things, and then you will start to understand your calling. And God will speak to you with the voice that you need to hear. But it begins by giving your life to Christ and trusting that he knows best for your life. Okay. I want to just say one last word. And this was very emotional for me also. It's been through the Revelation study and the word of God in that study. I shared this the other night at the Bible study. And there was a question in our study guide. How have you encountered the Lamb? Or how has the Lamb, right, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, made an impact on your life? And there were different ways that people were, responding to that. And it occurred to me that the way that I remember being touched by the Lamb of God, slain for me, was in church. Do you know how important the church is to God? Do you know how important the church is to God? With all of its, like, people, all these people that have sins and all these different things going on in churches that people would rather talk about. It is the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. It's not a choice. It's not like something we can say, I'd rather do it, another version of it somewhere else or something like that. What we're talking about is a place where people gather who are devoted to the teaching of God through his word, to fellowshipping with other believers, to breaking bread and celebrating the Lord's Supper, which is what I was talking about, that the Lamb of God was exhibited to me as a young boy all the way through my life, and it continues to do so now when I'm serving it. What an honor that is to be able to share in that with people in church all through your life. But if you were to ask me, everyone, one thing that stands out in my life, of all the different things, and I've been to different countries, and I've gone to schools, and I've spent time in different places, and I have a wonderful marriage with my wife, but the outstanding way that I would describe my life is the Church of Jesus Christ. I've been in it since I was a baby, and I'm in it now, and I am totally in love with God because of that. It is the influence of the Holy Spirit working in the Church of Christ that has made my life what it is today. And it's glorious. With all of its brokenness and all of the things where, you know, there were struggles and all of these different things. It is because of Christ. And it always will be. It will always be. The church will always be. I may be no more, but the church will always be. And the reason is because we worship Jesus Christ, who always is and always will be. And I'm really thankful for God for reminding me of all that, the importance of His church in my life. And I hope that you feel the same way. That is what I want. If I would have to say one thing that I want for all of you in this church, is to grow in the appreciation of Jesus Christ and His church. And all the things that He gives to us in this church. But most of all, that He lay down His life, and we take a piece of bread to remember and even to eat His body and to drink His blood and to have Him living in us. Why would we want anything else? Why would we not want to share that and give that experience that is the church to other people? So let us rejoice that Jesus has brought us here today. Let us rejoice and give worship to His name and be filled with glory that we belong to Him and that He is our shepherd. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's going to be exciting to see where He leads us. If we would only follow. And we will, because He has given us that word today in His word. So I was going to sing another song. We can sing two hymns, I think it's allowed for a response.